I'm currently reading a fantasy trilogy at home where the author creates this, you know, fantastic world with dragons and people who bond with dragons and others who can walk through stone pillars that act as portals to take you to these fantastic locations far away. And it's taken me quite a while to become familiar with this strange world, because the trilogy that I'm reading is actually a follow-up trilogy to a previous trilogy. And so there's three books of characters and history and strange lands that I've missed. And it's hard to follow the current story without all the background story. And some stories only make sense if you already know the previous story. And the Christmas story, I think, is one of those stories. Imagine for a moment if this was all you knew of the Christmas story. Joseph and Mary travel to a small city for a census. While they're there, Mary gives birth to their first child. An angel appears to some shepherds and says, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born." That's the manger story. That's all we have. On its own, the story really makes no sense. You have to know what happened before Joseph and Mary ever started their journey to Bethlehem. And if you do know the story, you'll know all the fantastic places, the miraculous things that happen, the kings and the prophets, all these things that come together. You'll know there's a long history of waiting and longing. You'll know that there's countless threads of prophecy that all led up to this day. That this is a much bigger story than the one we're telling this evening. So as we celebrate the birth of Jesus today, let me just very briefly remind you of the bigger story. Started in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve have a great relationship with God. And we know that God was with them in the garden, and they simply enjoyed one another's company. That was it. That was the big task of the day, just to be together. And every day was a good day, until the day that Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. And it caused a rift in the relationship. Something was wrong. And the big story is about how that relationship would someday be restored. And ever since that day in the garden, God has always still been with his people. But the relationship was never quite like it was in the garden. The relationship changed. It was a relationship where God was always helping his people to do something. He was always helping them to get somewhere. There was always an agenda to what was going on. Whenever people had a need, they knew that they could cry out to God for help, and they did. And honestly, for many people today, that's still the way they see the story. They're living in a story where God is someone who's with us when we need him, and we can call out to him if we need something. It's part of the story, but it's not the whole story. Psalm 89 is a good example of this. The psalmist talks about how great God is, that there's no one who can compare with God. God's righteous, he's just, he's all these good things. But the psalmist acknowledges that there's something wrong in life. Relationships are broken, and he's wondering, will this world ever be at peace again? Will things ever get fixed? And so he cries out in Psalm 89, "How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever?" And there's an acknowledgement there that there's a problem that we can't fix, but that God can. But when? When will you finally fix this? So there's a longing for better. There's a recognition that life isn't all that it could be. And if you think about it, not even what it should be. And so this psalm of longing for a world at peace, it's longing to go back to the garden, like things were in the garden. And then we have this promise in the Bible about the birth of a son from Isaiah 7. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And the name Emmanuel here is really important. It means God with us. And the subtle underlying message here is that God will be with us like he was in the garden. He will be with us just to be with us again. In other words, he's coming to fix things. And so our relationship with God doesn't have to be just about asking him to fix things when we're in trouble. That there would be a day where we would simply be with God again. That's the promise of the name, Emmanuel. That's what it means, God with us. Then you have another prophet telling us that, hey, it's time to get ready for that day. He's building a sense of anticipation. Isaiah 40 says, there is a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. In other words, prepare for this child. Prepare for Emmanuel, God with us. And the preparations that need to be made are quite important here. The preparations are to acknowledge that the reason that there's a rift in our relationship in the first place is because we put it there. We have to own the fact that we destroyed a perfectly good relationship. God didn't cause the breakup. We did. And yet it's interesting in the story that God is the one who's pursuing restoring the relationship. That throughout the story, God is the one who's been gracious, he's been patient, he's been shaping the events of human history leading up to the day where he would be with us again. Then you come to this announcement of the angel. I bring you good news. It'll cause great joy for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So now this birth story makes sense. This is the birth that was spoken of by the prophets. The child is Emmanuel, he's with us, and the angels in the heaven are so excited because all the threads are finally coming together. And then God throws in a twist, because we know the name Emmanuel means God would be with us, but suddenly God was with us in a way that nobody anticipated. Even the people that were following the story, that had the whole narrative, nobody imagined this, that the Word, which was God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He was with us in a way that no one expected. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And all of this is the background to the story of Joseph and Mary. But it still doesn't tell the whole story. The Christmas story actually sets up the next story in the trilogy. The book of Revelation tells us of the day when everything will be restored. And notice the language as I read a couple of verses from Revelation, because it describes what life will be like, but if you listen to it, it sounds like he's describing what life must have been like in the garden. No more asking God to be with us to fill a need. No more asking him to answer our prayers. We're together. Every day is a good day. And everything as it should be. Revelation 21 says, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Every day is a good day. There shall be no more mourning, no crying, nor pain. The former things have passed away. And it's describing a day where everyone who wants to be with God can be with God. That God restored the rift that we created. And the story actually comes full circle, back to a perfect garden relationship. But none of it happens without the Christmas story. where God came to be with us in the brokenness of the world. He was with us in the brokenness to lead to the reconciled world, to bring us to the place where things could be restored. And so when we think tonight of a simple manger, when we think of a baby being born, there's such a bigger story at play. We think of everything that came together that night, and to think of where that night is actually leading us, and to realize just how much God must love you, that He would work through the prophets and the priests over centuries of human history and miracles involving nations and amazing places, evolving angels and shepherds and kings, all to bring us someday back to the garden just so that He could be with you. And so as we sing a couple more carols this evening, as we sing of the night of our dear Savior's birth, let's remember all that this birth tells us about God's love. And in the words of one of these carols, it just brings you to your knees when you think about how much God loves us. Let's sing these carols together. Let's just take a silent moment to reflect on the birth of Christ. Jesus, there's so much going on in our homes these days. We love being together with family. We love all the celebrating. We love the hymns. We love the carols. We love the gifts. We want to take a moment just to acknowledge You. Father, thank You for creating this path, this story of mystery and angels and prophets and a Son who becomes a child, who creates a path to restore a relationship. Thank You that You've invited us into this story to be not just hearers of the story, but to be receivers of the good news, to enter into the story by having our relationship with You restored. So we acknowledge that gift. We thank You for it. We receive it gladly tonight. And we praise You in the name of Jesus Christ, who was born on Christmas Day. Amen.